Well, thank you very much. Thank you. Ministers Volpe and Cordiano, members of the House of Commons, Whip, Karen Redmond, Lynn Myers, Andrew, members of the legislature, Your Worship, Your Worships, distinguished scientists, Nobel laureates. You can't believe what a thrill it is for people to say Nobel laureates and they actually have to listen to me. This is a... I want to thank you, Andrew, for your presentation. And I think it is important, and I know that Lynn and Karen would agree with me. An individual member of Parliament can have a tremendous role to play, a tremendous influence upon government. And I think that over the course of the last decade, we as a government, some initial stumbles at first, have really done quite an important job in investing in basic research and in the application of that research and the creation of the foundations that require it. But there was not necessarily an easy sell. And I really think, and I know that the other members of the provincial house and the federal house would join with me. I've got to say, Andrew Telegdy, you are one of the great pioneers, one of the great forerunners of the federal government's involvement, and I'm proud to be here with you. C'est un homme plaisir pour moi, au nom du peuple canadien, d'être ici avec vous pour honorer et témoigner en faveur vraiment d'une institution que j'en suis sûr marquera l'avenir non seulement de nos grands penseurs, mais de l'avenir du Canada. For those of you who didn't understand what I said because I spoke French, I can't understand you when you talk about quantum physics, so we're even. I said to my son, I told my son that when I came here, I said, what do I do? I'm going to be speaking to a room full of people who are smarter than me. And he said, just don't talk too long and they won't notice. So that. Let me just say that I would like to be with you tonight. I'm not going to be able to. I've got to go home. As some of you may know, we're going to be presenting the speech from the throne next week. And I've got to, when I get back home, I've got to work on the final touches because it's supposed to go to the printer sometime about 1 o'clock this morning. But, you know, I was thinking that the speech from the throne for a government is a very important document. And I believe that this speech from the throne will certainly have an effect on Canada in the years to come. But, you know, Mike, tonight, perimeter, speech from the throne, the influence for the years to come, I don't think there's any doubt that perimeter is going to have an influence on the world for eons to come. And that's a wonderful thing. But Dr. Perkowski talked about how when John English and Andrew came initially and presented the idea of perimeter to the government, and he said that in fact the great worry was, my God, you're going to create a precedent. Well, in fact, he was presented to the Department of Finance, and Dr. Perkowski's story is very true. It's not necessary for him to tell it, but it's very true. But the real precedent that we were worried about at that time was the Department of Finance spends most of its life saying no. And we were very prepared to say yes, but we were worried that if we said yes, then other departments, such as industry or foreign affairs or agriculture, departments which are nowhere near as fiscally responsible and understanding, would think they could have the same idea. So what we actually had to do, and this is the truth, we okayed it, and then we had to find somebody else to present it to government so that we would not be associated with it. Because we knew if we were associated with it, they would blackmail us into all kinds of other spending, which would not be important. So anyway, we pulled it off. And I've got to say that to be here tonight is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful thing. Now, I would like to just talk to you a bit about the two reasons that I think that tonight are so important. And why really what Jim Balzley, Doug Fregan, and Mike Lazaridis have done is so important. And what you want to know is that Mike Lazaridis, Doug Fregan are from Windsor. I am from Windsor. Most great nuclear physicists are from Windsor. And Jim Balzley would be a success in life if he had been from Windsor. But the two reasons, the first one I think has a little bit to do with really what is the role of our generation. Minister Cordiano talked about the commercial application of basic research. And there's no doubt that you talk to Joe Volpe or myself or any one of the members of Parliament who are here, took a job creation, you look at the competition with China and India in the years to come, that the commercial application of basic research is incredibly important. It's where jobs come from. It's where our future quality of life comes from. It's where our ability to deal with the environment, have a clean environment, comes from. But Minister Cordiano also talked about the importance of basic research. And let me just say to you that it is my view that we have a huge responsibility as a generation. And that is to recognize that it is the ability of a generation to take on an exponentially increasing body of knowledge and pass it on to the generations that follow. And that while there are great tragedies that occur in our world, and there are great mistakes that we all make, there would be no greater mistake if we didn't understand that our responsibility to the generations that follow is to pass on an increasing body of knowledge from that which we inherited, and to make sure that they understand that it is their generations that will follow, their responsibility of the generations that will follow them, to do the same. I believe fundamentally it is the role of government to ensure that basic research is done, and that we fail the generations that follow if we don't do that. And to think that people like Mike Lazaridis understand, and within his own responsibility, the tremendous effort and the tremendous responsibility that he has within that context, I've got to say stands as perhaps a more important testimony to his vision and his understanding than almost anything else. You earlier talked about Aristotle. I noticed you quoted a lot of Greeks. It was my biggest mistake when I was in high school. I had a choice between taking a special physics course or taking Latin. And I figured that there was more future in Latin. So I actually, if I'd taken Greek, I might be where you are. But it is that basic responsibility. And there was a period, the period of Dark Ages was a tremendous loss compared to those earlier ages of the ancient Greeks and the Roman Empire. But when you look at probably since the invention of the printing press, what humanity has done, and you think that we have barely scratched the surface of it, then what's going on here in this building today is just so incredibly important to really us as a humanity coming to grips with our ability to leave a legacy to the next generation. I asked Mike when we were upstairs, I asked him if he thought that did he feel on the basis of all of his understanding that in fact the world was so complex that only an unseen hand could have guided it? Or did he think that because the world was so complex that it was impossible for there to be an unseen hand? And he said he didn't know, but that he felt that mathematically that he could essentially determine where we were going. Can you predict a majority government? But you know, and I'm not being very articulate, but I'm not being very articulate because I really feel this so strongly. What's going to come out of the Perimeter Institute long after maybe this building has disappeared? Certainly long after governments have disappeared and maybe nations' borders have disappeared. It's going to be so important to
to the ability of the world to grapple with new problems. But even more important than that, the importance of the world, the ability of the world to understand what it's really all about. And that is the ultimate mystery. All of us go home at night sometimes, especially as we get a little older, and ask who we are and what we are, where are we going. Well, you know, that's what you're answering, Mike. That's a tremendous thing. And there's another reason as well, and on this I will close, why I think the Perimeter Institute is so important. And this one brings us a little closer to home. And that is that as we look at what's happening in the world, and the rise of China, the rise of Brazil, the rise of India, we also understand that the way in which a country's sovereignty is exercised has an enormous amount to do with the quality of life that its people will enjoy, and whether, in fact, this is where its young will realize their dreams. I don't believe that sovereignty in the future, not that long after we've taken care of some of the current problems, is going to be exercised by great armies. I think it's going to be exercised by the capacity of a country to demonstrate to the world that its brain power, that its ability to look into the future, is as great, if not greater, than any others. And I think that the Perimeter Institute stands for the kind of Canada that we want to build, and it certainly stands for my definition of what sovereignty is all about. And Mike Lazaridis, that you, enormously successful as a businessman, who have done so much, so much in a short period of time in building a major international company, that you at the same time had the understanding of what your country is all about, what basic knowledge is all about, and our responsibility to the world to come. That you took it into your own hands. Let's not kid ourselves. Government played a role, but we were an observer, we participated. But this was your vision, this was your idea. You made it happen. I've got to say, Mike Lazaridis, this is a great day for Canada, and you are a great Canadian. Thank you very much.
Coming up after the break, we're going to tour PI's new